This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. I hope everybody out there had a great Canada Day. Have a great 4th of July. We know one Swede who definitely had a good 4th of July. Talking about all these transactions and signings and saying goodbye to people. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good. How was your 4th? You do something? Do anything fun?
It was good. I had a little barbecue at a friend's house. Had saw some fireworks.
Typical all-American type of holiday.
Had the power go out last night. God damn it. It was 11:15. Watching the end of Captain America. Boop, out goes the power.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one to watch on the 4th of July.
Like, son of a bee. So that was annoying.
Yeah, I had a pretty good 4th. I smoked ribs for the first time, which I had never done that before.
I was wondering where you were going with that one with, like, the slight pause. Like, I smoked, I was like,
ooh, what's happening there? Yeah, so
what is he doing?
It was the St. Louis spare ribs, and I used, like, this cherry stuff. But for the last hour, as it's smoking, you use, like, cherry wood chips. Everything's cherry here, and that's very American. But you take cherry snowball flavoring and put that all over the ribs for the last hour and let it cook in that.
You know, Brandon, I don't really have anything made for dinner tonight. Sounds like you're inviting me over.
You want to come on over? I got some left over. Sure.
It only take me like an hour to get there.
That's true. Probably would. But hey, let's
ten. No.
Let's talk about what happened in Caps world this past week. It's been busy. A lot of stuff going on. The Caps are spending money like they don't have any. And trying to...
Oh, they got plenty of money. That's not the problem.
It's going to certain people, but...
I'm not going to be allowed to spend it pretty soon is the issue.
Who should we talk about first? Who's the first guy you want to talk about?
Let's talk about that big signing, which was forward Anthony Peluso. No, I'm just kidding. they made a couple of signings. You get that way. They signed Anthony Peluso. He's likely to play maybe in the Caps, probably in the minors. Signed John Albert. That's for Hershey. I think Hershey lost... Paul Carey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Signed with someone. I don't remember who. Signed Travis Boyd today. It's a good deal. He has a chance to be making the opening night roster. But I feel like the biggest news, and we had a bunch of them. We already knew about Brett Connolly. They re-signed Chandler Stephenson. He has a chance to make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the biggest one, I don't know, man. I mean, Devontae Smith-Pelly was a nice signing. He's a decent player. He'll play on the fourth line. We'll get annoyed by him from time to time, but it's all right. They re-signed Andrei Burakovsky. 2 years at $6 million. Brandon, can you remind me, who was the person that said that his cap it was going to be $3 million a year?
Was that Ryan?
I think it was me.
Oh!
I called it. I said, he's going to come at $3 million. That's what Kuznetsov was making. Bam! Nailed it. Anyways, so move on. But no, it's great to have Burakovsky back. I think he's going to be on the second line.
They got big Williams plans for this guy.
You have to. I mean, Williams has gone off to Carolina at $4.5 million, which is like $2.5 million more than he should be making.
But he's returning home to Carolina.
That's true. They had a nice welcome back and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if he went out of the division. They signed Burakovsky to a good deal. I like it. It's a bridge deal. He's going to be expensive in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the two big moves. Re-signing Evgeny Kuznetsov to 8 years, $80 billion, and the trade of Marcus Johansson.
Marcus Johansson going to New Jersey. He is now a Devil. I got to say, with the Kuznetsov signing, Marcus Johansson signing, I am shocked about both of those things happening. I did not see Marcus going anywhere. Figured he was all good to go, being a Capital for a while. And Kuznetsov, I'm very happy to see he got signed. But holy cow, what a paycheck that guy is making. And what a commitment of 8 years. I was expecting something, you know, I didn't think they were maybe 6 years at a max, but 8 years. The Caps are definitely giving the fans their choices of sweaters on what they can buy now. You got, and they'll last you a little bit longer. You got Orlov for 6 years. You got Kuznetsov, Oshie for 8. I mean, the choices to wear the number and name on your back are, you know, they got four or five names now.
I did just get an Orlov t-shirt, or jersey, as you call them. So that was nice. I mean, it's interesting because Ovechkin's got 4 years left on his deal. Kuznetsov, as we said, signed 8 years, $7.8 million a year, which in my opinion is about $1.8 million more than it should have been, and further puts this team into cap problems. Now, Backstrom was only for another 3. Now, Kuznetsov's only 25, so at the end of this deal, he'd be 33. Uh-huh. So that's not that bad. Oshie's deal, I feel like, in the next couple of years is going to become a problem, and they'll be right back where they started with the Orpik problem. Backstrom's is up in 3 years. He'll be 32, so he'll be looking for a new deal, turning 33. You got Eller's up after the season. Burakovsky's only for 2 years, and he's looking for a big raise. Wilson's a restricted free agent after this season. Beagle's an unrestricted. Connolly re-signed for 2 years. And they got to re-sign John Carlson after the season. That's going to be interesting.
There's a good chance Jay Beagle's no longer a Capital after this season.
I would tend to agree with you. I mean, it depends how much the cap goes up, but I would tend to agree with you on that.
Yeah, but let's talk about Kuznetsov. So this is an 8-year deal, and it's a lot of money. You think that they overpaid a little bit for him, but he did leverage this deal.
A lot of it.
You know, his agent, very good agent for him to for a player to get, but he leveraged the deal because he said he was interested in going back to the KHL, potentially playing in the Olympics, and that after if he had a chance, he would go back there. So the Caps got a little scared and offered him more than a lot of people were projecting.
Well, I'm wondering if it was more a situation where McClellan was just unprepared and that his plan for the offseason just did not go as he thought it would. And he panicked. And he's like, well, I'll just throw $1 billion at you and that will make you stay. I think that Kuznetsov was always going to stay and they were just looking to find a way to save money.
They were looking for a way to save money, but
not save money. That didn't make any sense.
Spend more.
They're looking for a way to save him and get him on the team, and they didn't save the money. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. It's been a long day, guys. I don't understand it. Like, I understand he's a phenomenal talent. He's only 25, so he's not even in his prime yet. He's almost there, and you've locked him up for 8 years. That's great, but $7.8 million is too much when you don't have the cap space. And you're going to have to re-sign guys like, theoretically, Wilson and Beagle next year and Burakovsky in 2 to put yourself in a position where you won't necessarily have a lot of room going forward. I mean, you've re-signed Orlov at 5.1. Niskanen is at 5.75 for another 4 years. And you've got Carlson as an unrestricted free agent next season.
Hmm.
He's going to be looking for his last big payday. So, and he's at 3. He's basically at $4 million a year. He's just under that. So he's likely going to get a bump into the $5 million range. And you still have Orpik for another freaking season after this one. Like, I don't know how they do it. And I know, like, Isabel Kershutin of the Washington Post was talking about this. Like, if you get rid of Orpik, it's unlikely because no one is probably going to take on that contract. But also, you have the issue of now you open another hole in defense.
Right.
While true, I'll take the cap space because I'll take a 7th-round pick. I'll take an 8th-round pick, and they don't even have that many rounds in the draft. That's how much I want to get rid of Orpik, because what he does for the team and his intangibles are great, but his cap space is just too much. He's taking up too much of it. His hit is too high.
But even if you get rid of him, he still is taking up a little bit of cap space, right? Because you're still going to pay him if you buy him out.
Well, yeah. If you buy him out, it's something like 2.5 for 2 years and then 1.5 for 2 years or something along those lines. But I'll take that at this point overpaying him or having a cap hit of 5.5. If you can find a way to trade him without taking in any salary in return, or maybe just a player with a little bit of salary in return, I take that because of the cap space that builds up. Even if you're getting a player that's like, you know, 47 years old and he can't skate without a walker, like, I'll take it because I want that. Like, right now it is straight up a salary dump, and it's what we've seen teams do in the past. We've seen Chicago do this after they win a cup, and I understand it's not an exact comparison because guys didn't win a cup, god damn it, but you see this where they put all their eggs in one basket. We're gonna put all of our money in this, and after the season we'll deal with the problem. It's exactly what McClellan did, and now he is having the same issues the Blackhawks had, where they needed to free up cap space. The problem is the Caps just don't have a Stanley Cup. We'd be having this exact same conversation, more or less, if the Caps had won the Cup, because they would be in the exact same salary cap problems. The team would still be gutted to some extent. True. This was going to happen one way or another. But having Orpik still on the roster still creates problems with the salary cap. Signing Kuznetsov to a stupidly large cap hit still creates more problems for the roster going forward. And you're going to theoretically lose players like John Carlson, and you can't afford to lose him next season because you already don't have a good enough defense. Now, maybe a couple of the young guys like Madison Bowie, like Lewington, like Zeus, step up and you can replace Carlson or someone else. Maybe they don't. And maybe your defense only has three good defenders. That's a problem.
That's a problem.
And it's not one that you're easily going to recover from.
And that's a big if with the young guys coming up.
Oh, it is a capital letters. You're taking that font up to like 93, bold and underlined, and italics. That's how big the freaking if
all
is.
Three? All three? Wow.
All three of those, and you double underlined.
What a strike through. Would you do a strike through?
No, because then it makes it look like it's not real anymore.
Right. Right. All right. Well, I mean, we're stuck with
Orpik. Strike through use if we were writing a piece and was like, the Capitals traded Orpik. Oh, wait. Strike through the trade, but kept Orpik. Because why they haven't gotten rid of him, I don't understand. Other than the fact if no one will take him, well, then you're like, you're screwed. I mean, you could have bought him out and took the dead cap space. But even then, like, let's say it's 2.5 for this season. You just freed up $3 million more in cap space. And maybe you hang on to Marcus Johansson for another 2 years.
Yeah, let's talk about Marcus. Now, you brought up, you know, Brian McClellan put all his chips in, and now we're kind of in this. Everybody's calling it a hangover type of situation with the cap space. Is Brian McClellan a good enough GM to run this team? Because he put all his chips in, they didn't work out. He's making deals now. Look what he got for Marcus Johansson. By being in this deal, you have a player who is a solid third-line guy, potentially could be a second. Could be a second line guy.
He's a second line player.
It depends on the day. But Marcus is definitely somebody you could have gotten a lot more from. But due to the cap space and everything, the GMs know around the league, you need to free up cap space. We're going to get this guy for pennies. And that's what they did.
I don't know how I say pennies, man.
You got two draft picks. Two draft picks.
Which is fine because the Capitals need to free up cap space. They were never going to move Johansson for a player. Maybe a defenseman, but looking at the Devils defenseman, no thanks.
But like, not even like a first round pick or anything?
No, there's no way, because the Devils are likely, theoretically, the Devils will be in the lottery pick or have a lottery. There's no way they're going to give up that opportunity to potentially pick high again for Marcus Johansson. That was never going to happen. Maybe you get a first round pick from a team that's likely going to the playoffs next year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily who the Devils are going to be. So was likely they would get a second or third round pick, and this is a team that needs draft picks going forward. As of right now, in 2018, the Capitals have a first round pick. They have Florida. So both picks they got from New Jersey were not actually New Jersey's picks. The second round pick was Florida's, and the third round pick belonged to Toronto. So the Caps have the first round. They have their first round pick, which is hopefully 31st, because that means they would have won the Cup. They have a second round pick from Florida. They have a third-round pick for themselves and Toronto's. They have a fourth-round pick, and then they have a sixth and a seventh. They have no fifth-round pick, which they gave up, and I can't find out because this thing is making me click something. Hold on. I have no idea. It's too many buttons, and I'm confused. Oh, it was the pick they gave up for the vacuum. See, if you watch old or listen to old shows, you know Grayovac, the guy they picked up. Anyways, so they have a decent amount of picks, and this team needs to start replenishing their minor leagues and the system, because they've kind of given away a bunch of guys. So in terms of trying to push for the Cup. So it's not a bad idea. I think the Johansson deal was probably as good as they were going to get in terms of at least from New Jersey. And you don't really want to strengthen a team that is going to be potentially fighting with you for the Cup. And I don't think that's New Jersey right at this point. It's going to be awkward when he comes back to D.C. or when they go to play him in New Jersey. He's on the other side of the ice, but, you know. Yeah,
I'll still be wearing red, so, I mean, he won't be too.
I liked Johansson, but I think this was coming down the pipe no matter what. I think once his 2 years left and his deal was up, I think he was gone. Because they don't have the cap space for him. I think Burakovsky was going to take his spot. And now that you've paid Kuznetsov too much freaking money, that you didn't have the cap space to re-sign him after that, and if they want to re-sign John Carlson. And theoretically, at some point, like let's say – I mean, there's also an opportunity for Lucas Johansson, who was their the defenseman of their first round pick last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was.
I don't know.
You got to re-sign him in 3 years. Verana's deal is up in 2 years. At the same time, Johansson's deal would be up, and if this kid picks up his play, because he is theoretically getting, you know, would have a spot on the second line. You know, you're going to need to save cap space to be able to sign some of these players, and we're forgetting that Holtby needs a new deal in 3 years.
Jeez.
So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening, and you need to free up cap space. So I think this Johansson deal was probably the best thing they could have had at this point.
I mean, it's sad to see him go, but you got to free up money, and that's really the way it is. So I wanted to bring this up. Isabel Krishoudian from the Washington Post, she brought up a potential roster, you know, what she thinks the roster would look like in the fall. Go on. So let's talk about this and see what if we agree or disagree. So first line, we have Ovi, Kuzi, Oshie, the TKO line back together.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I think Kuznetsov and Backstrom will sort of flip-flop throughout the season. But yeah. I'm with you so far.
Jakub Vrána, Nicky Backstrom, and Andrei Burakovsky.
I got that, too. I'm currently on Cap Friendly on their armchair GM thing, so I'm looking at the same thing. Go on.
Brett Connolly, Lars Eller, Tom Wilson. That's line three.
I would agree.
Nathan Walker, the first Australian potentially in the NHL.
Yeah, buddy.
Jay Beagle and Devontae Smith-Pelly.
I would agree with that. I have Grayovac in there, but only because I like his name.
And Jay Beagle is there, but right under him is Riley Barber.
I don't think they can afford that right now.
So potentially he might be showing up. So
that serves no purpose.
Riley Barber?
In terms of having him just sit every night.
Yeah.
Like, the kid needs to play. So either he's in Hershey playing or he's in D.C. playing. But having him sit up in the press box does nothing unless he's like, oh, he'll be there for a couple of games, then he'll play. Like, he'll be there for two games, and then he plays the next eight. Like, he's learning a little bit, but it serves no purpose having him in the press box for too long.
All right, so defense, Dmitry Orlov, Matt Niskanen, Kristen Juice, and John Carlson, Brooks Orpik, Aaron Ness. And Taylor Chorney is sitting there as well.
No love to Madison Bowie for Ms. Krishoudian.
But we have seen Aaron Ness and Christian Juice up here before. We have not seen Madison Bowie make an NHL appearance yet at all. So these guys do have a little bit, little bit of NHL experience.
I mean, it's going to be – this team is not going to be on paper or statistically as good as they were last season. No. There's a lot of guys, whether it's Bowie, Juice,
and Lewington,
Johansson, Barber, Walker, Vrána. Like, these are young guys that are going to have to step up and play. But this is what teams go through. This is what makes good general managers and good organizations. We talked about this in the past. You and I have talked about this many times about how you have your core and you're constantly rotating the pieces around it. Johansson was one of those pieces around it. Now he's out. Mm-hmm. Alsner was one of those. We thought he was core. Now he was one of the outside pieces. He's out. You know, these things happen. This is how teams build. You've seen Chicago do this all the time when they get rid of Versteeg or Saad. They got rid of Dustin Byfuglien years ago after their first cup, back in whenever that was. So we've seen this before where you move out guys and then you replace them with younger players or guys at the end of their career that are cheaper, and you hope the drive and desire and determination of these young players like Vrána and Walker – and Bowie and Juice and Johansson and Johansson, however you say his name, are going to step up. And if they don't, then they're in some serious trouble.
All right, so let me ask you this. I was thinking about this on the ride home, and there was a lot of pressure on this Caps team the last 2 years. And it was that we have a 2 year window to win a cup. You have to win a cup. You have to win a cup. You have to win a cup. And all these players were fantastic. However, this team buckled. There's no getting around it.
A little bit.
The team on paper should be unbeatable. It should have gone undefeated in the regular season with how much talent was on the ice. But the team went into the postseason, forgot how to hockey, and buckled under the pressure. Holpe even said it. He let up like a 5-goal game against the Penguins. He had to talk to a sports therapist and get back on track because he buckled. These guys have so much pressure on them. Look at how they came out against Toronto in that first game. They were barely able to scrape by with that. They got ahead of themselves, and they knew the pressure was on. It might be better for this team to not have that pressure on them and that expectation of we need to win a cup, otherwise we're going to be a failure. We need to win a cup because we're going to be a failure. We need to get out of the second round, otherwise we're failures, and not take it so hard. Maybe the fact that people aren't expecting a lot from this Caps team coming up is actually a good thing. You know, maybe people aren't expecting them to make it to the playoffs, and they're just going to have fun again. You know, that was a big thing with Ovi when he was under Dale Hunter, was the fact that hockey wasn't fun for him, and the joy of it was gone. Maybe we're expecting a little bit too much from these guys, and the pressure got to them. Maybe, I don't know if you need to coach better. You know, maybe it's a Barry Trotz thing. I don't know. But maybe these guys just buckled, and Barry Trotz and our captain Ovi didn't know how to talk to the team and make sure that it didn't get to them too badly.
It's an interesting point, and I think you make a good one. I do think that this team is going to have less expectations, expectations would be as high in terms of where we feel like they're going to be next season, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. We've seen teams that are eighth seeds that have gone on to win the cup because they get hot at the right time, and I think it's really all about getting to the playoffs, and then anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like there is a psychological component with the core guys on this team, and they're going to have to get over it. They're going to have to man up and be like, look, we're going to go out there, we're going to play balls to the wall, and we're going to throw everything on the ice at the end of the game. It's not like this past season where they come out of that Game 7 loss going, we didn't give enough. Like, there was more for us to give. Like, that's completely unacceptable.
Yeah, that really ticked me off after Game 7. Oh, we just didn't have a fire in there. We had nothing to play for. Dude, it's Game 7. You're about to get taken out by the Penguins again. There's your motivation. What are you thinking? But, you know, these Hershey Bears that are coming up, they've been through the Calder Cup playoffs. You know, they haven't won a Calder Cup, but they've been in the AHL version of the playoffs. So they've been there for high-impact games. Of course, the NHL is a different beast, but still, they know what it's like to have the pressure on. So hopefully they can kind of bring some of that young energy to this team, and that'll actually be really helpful for some of the guys kind of turning into veterans.
Yeah.
Because like Ovi is not a rah-rah, you know, I'm going to inspire.
Follow me onto the ice kind of thing. Like he inspires you by his play, not by what he says. He's not going to come into the locker room and be like, guys, here's a great sports speech. And he does that kind of thing. Like he's gonna go out there and he's going to hit somebody, and that's going to get guys riled up. I think the young guys are going to learn a lot from just being around him, but they're going to have to step up. You know, it's no kid gloves anymore. It's time to play with the big boys, and you got to show that you've earned it, or you're going to be back in Hershey.
That's right. And, I mean, they got good chocolate there, but I don't think any of them want to be back in Hershey.
They do have. I mean, it's not a bad place to play if you have to play hockey in the AHL. I mean, that's a hell of an arena. It's a hell of a fans, a group of fans. It's a good, great organization to be a part of.
What else is there to do in Chocolate Hershey Town?
There's some.
I mean, you get to ride the roller coaster, but how many caves times
nearby?
Oh yeah, yeah. There are some caves. You
know, there's some caves around. That's pretty cool. But no, I mean it's a cool place to play. But yeah, this is a Caps team that's going to look very different than they did this past season. I agree with the lines you brought up before. I do think that the some of the defensive pairings, I think it is going to be Orlov and Niskanen. Orlov with his $5.1 million, which I think is – he also got slightly overpaid. I don't remember if we talked about him last week, but Orlov's back at 6 years, $5.1 million per year. So, I like that he's back. I think it was a good deal. I just think it was a little bit too much money. I think between him and Kuznetsov, they could have saved somewhere around $2 million. So instead of currently having about 5.589 million – they could probably have somewhere closer to $7.6 million.
I mean, the Caps are kind of stuck right now. This is who Brian McClellan is picking to give him the big bucks. Well, and
was it last week that we said that this is the time where it's going to show if he really is a good GM?
Yeah,
we'll see in the season.
So far, you're not impressed.
What was my grade I gave him? It's gone down since. Not a lot, but the Johansson thing was more of a shock, I feel like, because he's been around for so long. Like, right. I remember when he was drafted and it was everything, and it was like, he's going to be the Swedish answer for – he was going to be the answer – he was going to be he's going to be Backstrom to – no, I don't remember how to phrase this now. I've totally botched this whole part. But, like, he was going to be the Swedish center to the to Alexander Semin.
Right.
Like, you had Ovechkin and Backstrom and then Semin and Johansson. That never ended up being the case.
No.
But because Semin's, you know, Sasha doesn't care. But it was, like, it was very shocking for Johansson to leave.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those guys, been around a while, and it's a big surprise that he left. But these things are natural. It's a part of the game. We've had so many players that have come in and left. Speaking of Alexander Semin and Mike Green and, you know, fan favorites like Matt Hendricks and Matt Bradley, and there's a lot of Matts that have played on this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of other players that have come in, and Brooks Like and Tomas Fleischmann and guys, these are, you know, names that you've heard and be like, oh, they're great. It was fun. Varlamov and Neuwirth, where you're like, yeah, these would be great players for the team. And it's reality of sports is that they move on. Once other guys cost too much money, you got to free up some cap space. So that's why Johansson was gone. It's time for guys like Vrana. Like, this is your turn. It's your turn to show that you belong in the NHL. Now you got to step up. This is your opportunity.
I've got faith in Vrana. I definitely think that he'll be able to step up and be a good second line guy. But we should bring up Justin Williams did go to Carolina. Kevin Shattenkirk went to the Rangers.
Called it.
Carl Alsner went to Montreal. That was,
see that one coming.
That was a little.
I thought he was going to Vancouver.
Oh, you really thought Vancouver?
He's from Burnaby.
Yeah, I was a little sad about Carl Alsner going, but like we talked about, he hasn't been the same.
I remember when he was drafted. That was a little rough, but yeah. I really liked Alsner, but I feel like his injury, I hope for his sake he recovers from it, but I think it was the same thing that Like had, and Like never recovered, so we'll see.
Let's see, who else left? We brought up Paul Carey left. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, Paul Carey went to the Rangers, so him and Shattenkirk, hey, they can hang out and be friends.
They can be buddies.
But it definitely felt like a mass exodus over the weekend with all these guys leaving. And one guy
Shattenkirk doesn't count.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he is he ever really gone? He's kind of like, you know, Andy Kaufman, where nobody actually thinks that he's dead or whatever. You know, he could just be playing a big joke. But one guy we got to talk about that left, Stan Galiev, he decided to head back to Russia and go to the KHL. And from a guy who got drafted, spent some time overseas, came over, was in the Hershey system, came up recently for the Capitals the last two seasons, played like four games, and then went to Hershey for a season, said, you know what, I've been in the system for 5 years, I don't see enough NHL time, there's only so much I can learn in the AHL, I'm going back to Russia, I want to play in the Olympics, I'm going to the KHL, and Dynamo Moscow holds his rights, and boy, what a mess Dynamo Moscow's in right now.
Oh, yeah. Did I read today that, like, all 42 of their players are now unrestricted free agents?
Yeah, so what happened is Dynamo Moscow stopped paying its players for the last 3 months. So they've been complaining, the players have been complaining about what to do, who owns the contracts, yada, yada, yada. So the president of Dynamo Moscow sold off his rights to the company. The company, the KHL, decided if you were a Dynamo Moscow player, you are now an unrestricted free agent to sign wherever you want. Their goalie is staying with Dynamo Moscow. A couple players are going different places. But, like, two players were lent to a different team in the KHL, and they're stuck. And they aren't allowed to practice with Dynamo Moscow, and they aren't on the other teams anymore. So Stan Galiev picked the worst time to go over there because Dynamo Moscow owns his rights and he can't practice with them because they currently have no one signed.
This dude's got a whole bunch of bad luck.
I don't know. Like, do you think he walked under a ladder with a black cat or something? I don't.
And a broken mirror.
Yeah, this guy doesn't know what. Or he's got like the world's worst agent too. I don't know what it is, but you feel bad for that guy a little bit. He just wants to play some puck.
You gotta feel for him a little bit. I mean, he just wants to play hockey, and he's getting completely and utterly dicked over. And it's kind of not funny, but this would be the one season where he would have a chance to make the Caps roster because they have so many openings.
That's true. That's really.
So you have to imagine he's like, God damn it. Like, come on.
Do you think he, if he actually gets to play in the KHL, do you think he makes the Olympic team? Is he that talented? I don't know.
They don't have anybody else. Kovalchuk's going back.
Oh, Kovalchuk. That's right. Him and Datsyuk, right? They'll be able to play in the Olympics.
Yeah, they'll still find a way to lose.
This is Russia's best chance right now. No NHLers.
That's true. Watch, right. They're going to win it now, and eventually going to be like, crap.
The 1 year. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Yeah, bastard.
Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Probably.
We do have to bring up Mitch Korn, who is the guy who is like the goalie savior. The guy who
goalie guru.
The goalie guru who helped Braden Holtby become Braden Holtby. He's actually stepping back and becoming the director of goaltending, so he won't be on the road and be the go-to guy anymore. That's going to current and now the goalie coach, but associate goaltending coach Scott Murray will be taking over.
I think this is a good move. This guy knows hockey. He's still going to be in D.C. or Arlington. He's going to be around in terms of being able to work with the goalies at home, and maybe he'll jump up every once in a while to Hershey, but I think it's a good move. This guy knows goalies. He knows how to make good goaltenders, and for him to oversee all these other coaches that'll be working with it, sounds like a good plan to me.
I mean, we'll see what happens, but I'm very intrigued to see how Braden Holtby reacts without working with Mitch Korn each day at practice, because...
Well, who says he isn't?
Well, I mean, he's the director of goaltending, so he's not going to be like, you know, when
he'll be on the ice. He just won't be
At Kettler, but
traveling
like,
on the road.
Yeah, say they're in Nashville or New York or Pittsburgh. He's not going to be there with them. What's he going to do? Skype in every day? That's not how it's going to work.
Braden, I'm here to help you.
But I'm intrigued to see how Braden Holtby reacts. Braden Holtby is a great goalie, but I really think Mitch Korn was able to hone in on. He made Holtby
after Oates tried to break him.
Yes, he made him a more complete goaltender. So I'm intrigued to see how that's gonna work out. Just maybe.
Yeah,
Holtby's good. There's no doubt about that.
No, he's a phenomenal goaltender, but I think he'll be all right. Yeah. I mean, at some point, Korn's not with him on the ice, and when he's at practice at Kettler, it's different than when they're at practice on the road to some extent because they're in their own. In their own homes, their own beds when they're sleeping. It's their building kind of thing, their locker room. So I'm not as concerned, and I like the idea that this will give Korn an opportunity to potentially teach more goalie coaches that the Capitals can use.
Well, that's a good idea.
Leagues, to be able to work with some of their other young guys, like Vitek Vanacek, like Samsonov when he comes over, and whichever goalie they decide to draft next.
Now, will we ever see Ole Kolzig in that role of goaltending coach for the Caps? He's already in the system, right? He works.
Yeah, I mean, he works in like Hershey and stuff, and I think that he's got an opportunity. But I think as long as Mitch Korn's here, he's got his own guys that he's kind of keeping an eye on. But I think there's opportunities for Kolzig in the organization, in one way or another.
All right. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. We kind of covered everything, all those transactions, all that money.
Connor McDavid's contract. Did you talk about that already?
Oh, my God. How would you like to have that contract on the books?
$100 million. I should have said it like Dr. Evil. Damn it. I missed a good bit. Son of a... Yeah. $12.5 million cap hit. Holy crap.
I'd like to make that money.
But, yeah, I wouldn't mind. But, like, damn. That's a lot of money. But you know what? Dude's good, man. If the cap continues to rise, Edmonton's got a good deal. And who knows? The next lockout could cause players to have to like reduce their salaries by half or something. So there goes those cap hits. Never know, Brandon's place. This league loves its lockouts.
The league does. I mean, we're due for one pretty soon, so.
I think so, too. I think they're like, you know what, guys? Looking at the watch. Let's have a lockout.
You know, we've already ruined the Olympics. We've done a couple other bad things. Let's ruin let's just ruin the whole season again.
That's going to be interesting going into the next sort of CBA in terms of the players being like, you have to let us go to the Olympics.
I still can't believe we're not going to see Ovi in a Russia jersey and all that. I mean, there's no way. The schedule is out now. They have the All-Star break, everything planned out. The Olympics are definitely not happening, but I am shocked that we're not going to be able to cheer on our favorite Caps. Because, like, honestly, I think the reason Brooks Orpik is a Capital is because of the Olympics. I think him and Carlson work so well together in the Olympics that they got that pairing together afterwards.
So I think that's true to some extent, but I also feel like it's more to do with what he did in Pittsburgh. And I believe McClellan came out and said, like, they're signing him to that deal because of his past, not what he could potentially be doing.
But whatever, you know, hopefully.
We got him for 2 more years, Brandon. Woo!
Hopefully, you know, in 4 years we might see NHLers. Or we might have, you know, maybe another miracle type of deal this coming Olympics. We'll see.
Possible.
We'll see.
I wonder if we'll have guys in the AHL that go.
But then it's just like World Juniors at that point.
Sort of.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. We're talking about all kinds of sports-related things, about the Capitals, about Arsenal signing Alexander Lacazette. It's going to be great. Mm. And please sign Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil. As well as Redskins, how they're not going to sign Kirk Cousins because they're stupid.
You like that?
They have botched this whole thing since the very beginning.
Wow. Yeah.
The team is so dumb sometimes. But yeah, that's at WTP Coach Dan. But Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell us about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and Brando Cash Entertainment. Go over to our Facebook page, Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, and follow us on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we're always sharing Caps news that we find, Caps pictures, videos, anything we find interesting we think you guys will like. We like to post it over on our Facebook and Twitter pages, so definitely go like us, follow us over there. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Caps fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's probably going to be our last show for a little while until somebody else gets signed or another big trade happens tomorrow.
Something else stupid.
Something tomorrow will happen since we did this show. That is a fact. So we will probably see you next week, but...
That's a good point. Like, what are the... This should be a new bit in this show. All right, Brandon, it's that time. What are the Caps going to do tomorrow?
What are the Caps going to do tomorrow? Well, we know Grubauer is not going to arbitration, so I assume Philip Grubauer's contract gets announced tomorrow. So,
oh, that's not as interesting.
But we shall see. But last little bit of information I got to give you out there. Go see Baby Driver in the theater, because I saw that movie on Sunday. Honestly, best movie I've seen in the last 10 years. Hands down.
I haven't seen it yet. My friends all went to see it this past weekend, but I was busy with the fiance and I didn't get to see it. Really want to watch it.
It is amazing. Everything about this movie is perfect. I absolutely loved it. When I say last 10 years, it I think it's in my top 10 movies of all time. Seriously.
I really want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. Don't spoil it for me. It's rude.
So it's about this baby in a diaper. Who steals a car and has to keep the car above 55, otherwise a bomb in the backseat will blow up.
That was a nice job of sort of referencing different movies.
Thank you.
So it's Baby's Day Out meets Speed.
Meets Speed, correct. Yes.
Cool.
All right, guys, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Kuznetsov, Oshii, I don't know whose jersey I'm going to get next, but one of you are going to be on my back while I'm watching Baby Driver. That's the plan. So that's pretty much it.
What?
One of their names are going to be on my back.
This show got weird.
That's what we do here. So everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.